Good evening.
Good evening.
Okay.
I get nervous when I preach in the pulpit, so I like to stay close to the people. How's everybody doing today?
Good.
No, we could do better than that. How's everybody doing this evening?
Good.
Okay. Well, it's an honor and a privilege for us, the young people, and myself to be here today. I was told that this is normally what happens on a camp meeting, that on Wednesdays we have youth night. And I didn't know that our young people had so much talent. And as a church, as a conference, we have to take advantage of those talents. Are you with me? And we have to really take care of our young people. We've been talking about the great controversy, like Pastor Walter has told you while he was presenting me. But today I want to switch it up a little bit. Today I want to talk about the relationship between the church and our young people. What are we going to talk about today? The relationship between church and young people. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, at this moment, I simply ask you the same thing I always ask you when I have the opportunity to share your word. Hide me beneath the cross in which you have died for you and me, for me and everyone else. We simply want to hear the words that you have put in my heart and in my mind. We don't need to see Gustavo Parada. We don't need to hear the words of Pastor Gustavo Parada. We need to hear you, and we want to see you and feel you. All this I ask you in your holy name. Amen. Before I start, I want to introduce you to somebody special. One of my professors from Washington Adventist University is here. His name is Bogman Skur. Can you stand up? Professor Skur. Professor Skur, yes, let's applaud him. This man is a man of God. He's going to be teaching tomorrow. You do not, listen to me, you do not want to miss what this man is going to teach. This is a man of God. He was my spiritual father when I was at Washington Adventist University. He was also my advisor. So the man that you see here today is because of that man. All right? So we praise God for people like you, Professor Skur. So today, like I said, I want to talk to you about the relationship between church and the young people. Now, the relationship between church and the young people is not necessarily a good relationship. Are you with me? The relationship between church and the young people is not necessarily a good relationship, because the first thing that comes to your mind when you think about young people is Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 for me. And if you guys could pull that up for me, please. Proverbs 22, verse 6. And if you have it, please say amen.
Amen.
Okay. And the word of God says, train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from what? From it. Now, every pastor, I want you to listen to me very carefully, and I know I move a lot, but I need you to stay with me. Every pastor or every young person or every preacher that you invite to a youth Sabbath will preach on this specific verse. Why? Because they believe that we are doing this exact same thing that I just finished reading. I'm going to read it again. I lost it. Okay. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. My question to you today, church, is are we doing this exact same thing? Are we actually doing this exact same thing? Because every year, I see more young people leaving the church. Are we actually doing what the Bible is telling us to do? Are you with me? Because if we're doing what the Bible is telling us to do, why is it that young people are leaving our churches every single year? You see, and I had the opportunity of going preaching around the world, preaching around the states. I've went to different places in the world with Share Him. I went to different places with Washington Adventist University, and I see the same problem in every single part of the world. Our young people are leaving our churches. Why? Because we are not doing what Proverbs 22, verse 6 is telling us to do. So this problem not only coincides here, this problem is not only happening here, this problem is happening around the world. And church people, young people, we are not doing anything to solve this problem. Not even one thing. You see, and we're working on TMI, which stands for what? I can't hear you. Which stands for what? Total members involvement. So that means that we need to involve our young people so they could be involved in the mission that we have for this conference. But if we keep on doing what we're doing and not doing what the Bible is saying, there will be no young people so we could involve them in TMI. You see, a lot of us say that that our young people are leaders of the present. The reality of it is that we're using our young people if they're leaders of the future. And if you don't give a young person something to do, guess what? They're going to go somewhere and use their talents somewhere else. And when they go to use their talents somewhere else, I promise you, they're not going to use their talents at church. They're going to use their talents in the world. And when the world get a hold of them, they're not coming back. When the world takes a hold of your kids, when the world takes a hold of our young people, 9 out of 10 times, they're not going to come back. Why? Because we are not putting the work that the Bible is telling us to do. You see, this is not Pastor Gustavo Parada telling you. This is the Bible. This is the Bible. You see, this, if I have to entitle this sermon, I simply entitle it A War Between Two Worlds. A War Between Two Worlds, because we go to church, the church folks sit here, the young people sit there, they worship the same God, the same way, but they have two different missions, two different worlds. Two different worlds. And the thing is that we are in this conference, we say that we're suffering, but the reality is that we're not suffering. The reality is that we're working based on two different missions. This is why we have TMI, Total Member Involvement, because we need more members in our church. Am I right or am I wrong? And the thing is that I'm the baby pastor of this conference now. I only been here 2 weeks. And it doesn't take a long time to realize if a conference or a church is struggling. You see, we have the wrong mindset. Let me explain that. We have the wrong mindset because we think that our church is simply run by what we do. No, our church is run by the God that created church. Our church is run by the God that died for you and me. Our church is run by what we do. Now, what we're doing is not necessarily working. Am I right? I'm asking you guys. I'm here for only 2 weeks. What we're doing is not necessarily working. This is why we came up with this, TMI. The only problem that I see is that we are not involving our young people the way they should be involved. We are not involving our young people the way that they should be involved. You guys saw it. Talents. They could do everything. Listen, I'm spending a whole week with them in the youth chapel, and we're having a blast. These people are so talented. They don't need me to preach to them because what we're studying, they already know. All they need is somebody to push them. All they need is somebody to push them. Now, my question is, are we pushing them the way we need to push them? Or are we pushing them away from God and our church? Let's open up our Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verses 36 to 40. Matthew chapter 13, verses 36 to 40. And the word of God says, "Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the son of who? Son of man. The field is the world. And the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of who? The wicked, or my Bible says, the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is who? The devil. The harvest is close of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the close of the age," or like you see there, at the end of this world. Now, my question to you, church members, my question to you, young people, because we're also in this situation, is where are we sowing our seeds? Where are we sowing our seeds? And not only that, I want you to also think about where are you sowing your seeds and how are you sowing your seeds? Because the plan here is to involve our young people. But if you decide to sow seeds somewhere where our young people can't see where they're sowed, what are we doing? What are we doing? And then you ask yourself, why is it that every single year more and more and more young people are leaving church? Doesn't the word of God says that the young people are going to take over this? Right? But I want you to do something. I want you to look around, and I want you to count how many young people are in this room today. Go ahead. Count. Count. Matter of fact, I want all the young people to stand up. Stand up. All the young people, stand up. All the young people, stand up. Stand up for me, please. Stand up for me, please. These are supposed to be your leaders. Not of the future, but of the present. Now my question again is, what seeds are you sowing? And how are you sowing your seeds? You guys can sit down. Thank you very much. Because if these young people that just stood up cannot see where you sowed your seeds and can't use the seeds that you sow, how are they going to take over what you started? Are you with me? Do I need to slow down? Talk to me. Do I need to slow down? No? You guys are understanding where I'm going through? Okay, good. Good. We need to know how to sow our seeds. So in order when we decide to let go of what we're doing, the young people could come in and take over from us. You see, but a lot of church folks think that church works like magic. I'm gonna tell you why. See, when you plant a seed and you pick closely where you're going to plant it and how you're going to plant it, a lot of people think that just because you pray, just because you lead, just because you sing, just because you give a special offering here and there, that the seed that you sow is eventually going to grow without you working on it. You see? And that's how we do church. That's how we think church works. You plant the seed. Just because you're a leader, you pray, you do this and you do that, we strongly believe that that seed, that you're not taking care of it, is going to grow and be fruitful. Guess what? Seeds and plants and everything that we do and everything that we eat doesn't grow like that. You need to put in work. It needs to be watered. It needs to have sunlight. It needs to, whatever it needs to do, you have to do it. But a seed that you plant and you do not work for it, you do not care for it, it's not going to grow the same way you want it to grow. The plant is not going to grow the same way you want it to grow. So if you do not take care of it, when that plant grows, do not get mad if that plant grows, be fruitful, but it doesn't be fruitful for you, but it be fruitful for the world. Because that is exactly what is happening in our churches today. We plant the seed, and we believe that we're doing everything else that a Christian is supposed to do. But when it comes for us to see the fruits from the seed, we don't see it. Why? Because the fruits are being held out there in the world. Why? Because we don't take care of our young people. Ladies and gentlemen, young people, Mountain View Conference, if we don't take care of our young people, if we don't work together, nothing's going to happen. TMI is just a waste of time. All our efforts to grow our churches, all our efforts to take care of our young people is just a waste of time because we're so focused on our separate mission other than being focused on the same mission to grow the church and to worship God. So please be careful how you sow your seeds, be careful where you sow your seeds, and also use the young people so they could also take care of the seed and do it a more better job because they have more energy than we do. They have more talents than we do. You see, the ideas that these guys have are incredible. The talents that they can do, amazing. The abilities that they have to do things that we can imagine, they have it. But we're so focused on planting the seed and not taking care of it. Let me tell you a story. You see, a farmer, how many of us are farmers here? Okay, not much. A farmer makes his money depending on what type of crop he has. Am I right or am I wrong? Okay. Now, a farmer takes care of his crop because whatever his crop gives him is whatever the people pay, right? Now, I need you to think just as a farmer thinks. He plants a seed. He takes care of his seed because that's how he's going to put food in the table. But we're not talking about money. We're talking about salvation. We're talking about salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about salvation here. We need to become spiritual farmers. Did you hear that? We need to become spiritual farmers. Because we're not talking about money. We're talking about salvation. Salvation. The little things that you can do can mean so much for somebody, a young person. I don't know if you actually spent time with these people, with these young people. Half of them have been in foster care. Half of them don't have a good relationship with their parents. Half of them are struggling spiritually. Half of them are struggling in their lives. They're going through things that I don't even want to share with you, but you might have an idea. Now, the smallest thing could mean so much for these people. Let me tell you something. I've been here for about 2 weeks now, right? Camp Pitch and this week. I praise God for Pastor Dan. Where's Pastor Dan? Pastor Dan, can you stand up, please? Praise God for Pastor Dan. I praise God for Pastor Larry. Can you stand up, Pastor? Praise God for Pastor Jim. Where's Pastor Jim? Sick. Let's pray for him. I praise God for Elder Bogus. Can you stand up, Bo? I tell you why. I come here not knowing nobody. You see, I came here because God led me here. And first, I'm telling you, I'm the baby pastor of the conference. And they put me for Camp Pitch. Camp Pitch is simply when all the pastors come together and they get everything ready in the camp for so when you guys could come, you guys come and you guys could, you know, have fun. Now, they put me in carpentry. Now, the last time I did anything in carpentry was for Pathfinders. And that was a very long time ago. A very, very long time ago, probably like 10 years ago or 8 years ago. Now, the last time I did that, it was for the carpentry honor for Pathfinders. Now, I never thought that I would use carpentry or that honor for anything else. Now, when they put me with Pastor Dan and they put me with all these pastors that I just finished mentioning to you, they could have easily get mad and be like, why are they putting this little boy with us, the veterans? They probably put me in that group because, you know, I'm young and strong and I could lift, I don't know, the machines or something, I don't know. So they took, and this is how we should do, this is how we should treat our young people. They took me under their wings. They helped me, they showed me how to cut the OSB, yeah, that. They showed me how to use the machines. They showed me how to do this, and they showed me how to do that. And praise God, we've finished, and everything is accomplished. You see, they could easily said, you know what? We don't want to work with this young person. We don't want to work with this young pastor. We don't want to do anything with this person. And the reality is that is exactly how we treat our young people. Thank you. Thank you. So the thing is that we can easily misunderstand the weakness of a young person and simply push them away. But what we need to understand is that that young person is willing and able to use every little thing that you teach them and use it for a spiritual format. You see, I'm going to actually do that, Pastor Dan. I'm going to actually build a house for my wife. But I would call you so you can help me. See, in this situation, when we're talking about two worlds, and I'm talking about a war in church between two worlds, church and young people, something that shouldn't happen in church, but the reality is that it does happen. It does happen. And the person that makes this happen is the devil. The person that makes this happen is the devil, because that's exactly what he wants us to do. He wants us to fight against each other so we can't fulfill the mission that God has given us. And let me tell you something. And I told this to the young people, but I'm going to tell you this. You see, every time you are being attacked, every time somebody wants to take something from you, is because they want something that's so valuable. They want something that they don't have. Now, the devil is attacking our young people, and the devil is attacking our churches because he wants something that we have, and that is the passion, the understanding, the willingness of doing whatever it takes to go out there and spread the word of God. He wants all of that, and he wants to take us out. Because that is simply what the great controversy is. It's simply two choices, whether you pick the good side or the bad side, but the devil is simply trying to take you and keep you on his side to simply destroy you, kill you, and make you a statistic. But what I want you to realize today is that you and me, we can make a difference. You and me, we can make a difference. You and me, we can make a difference. See, the young people are willing and able to take it up a notch. The young people are willing and able to not be leaders of the future. No, but be leaders of today. Half of these young people that are standing here, that are sitting here, half of the young people that you saw singing up there, they're willing and able to take a leadership role right now. Right now. Now, are you willing to work with them? Are you willing to plant your seed in a place that they can see and they can use it? Are you willing to be their backbone? Because you cannot put a young person in a leadership role and then just leave and let them work. No, because it doesn't work like that. You see, Pastor Dan and every other person that took the initiative to guide me into carpentry did not just leave me there. No, because if you would have left me there, half of your cabins would have not been ready. I tell you that right now, half of your cabins would not be ready. No, what they did is they took the initiative. They taught me how to do things. They taught me how to place things. That's why your cabins look so good. Now, are you willing to plant your seeds once again in places that they can see and they can use? Amen. I'm going to share a little story, and with this I'm done. I shared a story with them when I was in Pathfinders. There was 55 Pathfinders in this van, and we were going to our Pathfinder camporee. And we were driving, and I don't know about you guys, but my Pathfinder Club, they would love to sing until we get to camp. And sometimes it got annoying, but hey, we were singing. So all of a sudden, it gets dark. And we were going through this little hill that had a sharp left. And something happened that I never thought that it would happen. A drunk driver comes. Listen to me. A drunk driver comes, and he gets in front of the bus that was carrying how many people? 55 people. 55 people. And the driver of the bus did not have enough time to move and avoid the car. So what happened is that they both collided. The van swerved and went to the right, hit three or four trees, windows broken, the van totaled and everything, or the bus totaled and everything. And out of the 55, 49 died. Now, you do the math. What's 55 minus 6? Now, by the grace of God, I was one of those six. By the grace of God, I was one of those six. Obviously, things happened. We had to start another Pathfinder club. This time, it was 30. And I was the sub-director. So we go to the same camp with these 30. And one thing is that I want you to realize is that these 30 could have been something. These 30 could have been a doctor, could have been a nurse, could have been a police officer, could have been a pastor, could have been a Sabbath school teacher. So the only reason why these people left church is because they never had an opportunity to work with the church. Did you hear that? The only reason why all these 30 people, these 30 young people that were so talented, the same way as we saw these young people here, they left church. Why? Because the church never gave them the opportunity to use their talent in church. Now, if you ask me where those 30 people are, a lot of them are young with kids. A lot of them are young selling drugs in the corner in New York City. A lot of them are dead. A lot of them are in prison. A lot of them are doing things that I don't even want to mention. But the only thing is that we could have saved those people if the church would have realized that their talents are so valuable that they could actually do something for the church. But what the church did is push them away. Instead of sowing seeds on these young people, all they did is sow seeds somewhere else. So what they did is they used the talents that God gave them and used it in other ways, and they got lost. Ladies and gentlemen, please, please, let us not be like that church that wasted all these 30 lives. Please let us not be like these young, like these church members that wasted 30 lives. That could today could have been here. Today could have been preaching, or anywhere in this world could have used their talents to bring other people to church. TMI. Total member involvement. Every young person here is willing and able to join the church and what we see here. Listen to me carefully. Every young person in this camp meeting is willing and able to use their talents and whatever it takes to be involved in total member involvement. Because why? Because they are members of this church also. So when you go back home, instead of pushing your young people, instead of sowing seeds somewhere else, understand that you have to start sowing seeds in places that they can see and help you grow and be fruitful. Because if you decide not to sow seeds in places that they can see, they're going to use their talents and sow seeds somewhere else and be fruitful somewhere else. So ladies and gentlemen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do something totally different. I want all the young people to come to the front. All the young people, please come to the front. Come to the front. All the young people, please come to the front. Nice group, right?
Amen.
You know what's scary? That every single one of us have the power in our hands to make these people use their talents in church. What's scary is that the littlest thing that we can say, the littlest thing that we can do can make or break their church experience, can make or break their experience with God, can make or break the relationship that they can build with God. So each and every single one of these people have talents. Each and every single one of these people are more capable and able to be leaders, not in the future, but in the present, right now. But they cannot do it by themselves. Did you hear me? They can't do it by themselves. They need somebody to be there. The same way Pastor Dan, Pastor Larry, Elder Bogus, Pastor Jim was there with me in carpentry. They mold me into something that I can use in the future. They let me be the present, not the future. They let me be the present. So you, Mountain View Conference, you church members, can do the same thing that these pastors did for me, for these young people. What do you say? So what we're going to do now is, I want to call the youth director, Pastor Walter, and I want to call our president, Elder Bogus, so you guys could have a word of prayer for these young people. Pastor Walter, you'll pray for the young people. Elder Bogus, you'll pray for the church, so we can work not only to work together, but to also work for TMI together. Because these people are not your future. These people are the present. And if you don't use them, listen to me, if you don't use them, someone else will use them. And if someone else will use them, they're not coming back. The reality is that we don't use them now, they're not coming back. So let's use their talents. Let's use their willingness to work for this. And let's work together. Because the last thing God wants us to do is to fight against each other.
Heavenly Father, we come before you knowing that we are weak, but you are strong. Admitting that as young people, we make many mistakes. I remember when I was younger, how many mistakes I made, and it didn't matter how bad or how much trouble I got in, my parents never stopped loving me. And I know that as I was growing older, I made mistakes in my teen years. But I had people next to me that were willing to work with me. Here before you are many teenagers and young adults. Some of them had made mistakes. Some of them will make mistakes. And as a church, help us remember how many mistakes we have made in the past ourselves. Let us embrace them and mentor them, help them to have a better relationship with them, with you, and that we as a church will be willing to work with them. I pray for the young people that they will be willing to serve you and not be afraid of anything because you are with them and the church is holding them through prayer and teaching them the way that they must go. I pray that they will learn to listen to the advice that other people with more experience have, because that will avoid many pains in our lives. And allow the young people to be committed to your church. Not in the future, but today. Help us come together as a church. Be one in you. And that the work will be finished in this earth. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ.
Gracious Heavenly Father, your word says that we should remember the days of our youth. And we who are older, we remember that teacher. We remember that pastor. We remember that Sabbath school teacher that came to our rescue when we were teenagers, when we were young. Oh, Lord, may we not forget how we can now return that kindness, that favor that was shown to us as adults to these young people. Oh, Lord, I pray that indeed you will help us through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that you will inspire us to be a mentor for young people. Help us, Heavenly Father, to cultivate that seed. Help us to provide opportunities for them to minister to others. Oh, Father, we thank you for our young people. And, oh, Father, I pray that here in Mountain View, that they will come forward and lift up the torch on high. And they will unite with every member so that the work can be done and Jesus can come. Oh Lord, just now, I want to invite we who have gray hair, we who have walked the path and now consider ourselves seniors, adults. Lord, may we be a pattern, be an example of what a real Christian adult is, and may we stand and be willing to take our young people into our shadow and help us that we might be a good mentor. I would like to invite those who are here, the adults, if you would like to stand tonight with me and with these young adults and say, yes, I want to help these young people to live for you. If you'd like to stand and join with me as we pray. Oh Lord, you see your people. By standing, they are saying, I want to be there for our young people. I want to be a mentor. I want to be there so that when young people need a listening ear, they can find someone that will listen. A young person who needs encouragement, may they get encouragement and not discouragement. Lord, I just pray that indeed our young people here in Mountain View will know that they are vital and very important to the ministry of total member involvement. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want the young people to look and see who's standing there. These people really care for you. And even though sometimes we as adults, and I consider myself adult, but they don't consider me adult. But you guys think I'm old. So I'm like in the middle. Sometimes we do things that you might not understand. But listen, learn to listen. Get involved. Be willing. You guys have talents. We've seen some of you playing and singing, and all of you have talents. Some of you are people that if you see someone walking and they need the door open, that you will run to open the door for them. That's a gift that not everybody has. I've seen you guys. I have known some of you for years now, and I know that God is calling you to do great things. Our church is willing to use us. Be willing to serve. May God bless you guys. Thank you for being here and making this camp meeting special. Without you, this wouldn't be the same. Thank you. You may sit. Tonight, as we close, we're going to sing our theme song once again to close. If we can stand and sing and praise God for what has happened here today. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to worship together. And as we continue to learn about your love and about the mission that you have given us, TMI, that we will be willing, that we will be willing to go out into the world and preach this wonderful message, not alone, but all of us together, Lord. I pray that the youth, the adults, will come together as a church and have a total member involvement. Thank you so much for this camp meeting. Thank you for everyone that is here. And thank you for making it so special for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Cruel hate.